it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This update is brought to you by Doral Kia, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com. Starting in the NFL, week two kicked off with Green Bay beating Washington by a final of 27-18. Week two continues on Sunday with the Dolphins hosting the Patriots. Over to the Canes, who welcome in USF tomorrow in a top 20 matchup. Kickoff is at 4:30 from Hard Rock. And the game can be heard right here on 104.3 WQAM with our countdown to kickoff beginning at noon. And to the Marlins, who shut out the Nationals 5-0 to split the four-game series. Next up, Miami will host Detroit for a three-game series beginning tonight with the first pitch at 7:10 from Lone Depot Park. The Joe Rowe Show continues now.
I didn't feel that as much. Like, I didn't feel guys necessarily going outside of scheme to make plays. I think there was a lot of want to and build up to that game. And I think a lot of guys put pressure on themselves to go out there and make plays when they just got to do their job and the plays will come to them. And then I think there were times where just from a communication standpoint, there were 10 out of 11 guys getting the call, right? And when you talk about making stuff, I think that's what our guys were referencing. There's about four or five instances that hurt us on critical sits where there was one guy somehow, some way that didn't get the call.
All right. We're still talking about it yesterday and time to let it go and see what it looks like. No more. I mean, I don't know how many days they can all, everybody nationally, locally, team, coaches, players, everybody. It's done. It's done, man. How are you going to play Sunday at 1 o'clock? Are you going to play well enough to win? Are you going to get that part figured out? And so whatever it was, mental mistakes, physical mistakes, couldn't hear. One guy didn't get the play. The other 10 guys did get the play. You know, all I know is you it's just bottom line, man. It's pro sports. It's just bottom line. And obviously, if you play like that again or close to that, you're going to lose again. Doesn't matter who it is, you're going to lose. You're probably right. Any team just about in the NFL, if you play like that, you're going to be in a dogfight. You're going to be in a dogfight to win games unless you clean some things up. By the way, some good news, though, and I like this. The team has been true to their word. We're going to play a lot of young guys. Five defensive rookies all could play 20-plus snaps. Offensively and defensively this week. The one that surprised me that I didn't see coming was Dante Trader at safety. I didn't know how much they liked him because he was hurt a lot in camp and missed a lot of camp, and he jumped ahead of a lot of safeties to get some playing time. Coach Weaver talked about it, said, hey, man, I like the guy. He knows what he's doing. He's what I'm looking for. He's in the right place. He does everything right. And the other thing I'm really excited about, because I thought he did play well in the game, was Phillips getting a chance to play. Benito Jones went down, so all of a sudden your fifth-round pick looks like he's going to get a chance to play a lot of snaps, and he's making plays at the end of the game. Jordan Phillips running around making some plays. So now also that opens up another position, so Biggers now gets a chance, and the other one. So you're going to have three defensive linemen from your draft will suit up and probably all three play. Grant's obviously going to play a lot. Marshall is going to play a lot in the slot. And Ollie Gordon will hopefully get more snaps than he did last week. Got a couple of carries, but not enough work. And, of course, we didn't have a whole lot of downs the way that thing was going anyway. But so they're true to their word. I want to see these guys play, man. The guys that have come in and been up and down and you're going, well, they're okay. Let's play with the potential upside of these young rookies. And, you know, I hate to see guys get hurt, but if a guy's banged up, man, this is a great opportunity for some of these guys to play, and you all of a sudden guys say, hey, guys, guess what? I don't know if you're going to be active this week or not. Those young kids, those young rookies, those draft picks are playing their ass off. We're going to play them. So they have a players-only meeting. I know a lot of people. All of a sudden, that became a story yesterday. I guess everything the Dolphins do right now is a story. Right? What have we had stories, but you know, bad loss, real bad loss, and all the things around it. Did they quit on the coach and all that stuff? Then we had the whole story with Tyreek Hill and the allegations of domestic violence that he's got now, and the league's going to be having a thorough investigation on that. We know that's going to happen. So you're going through this list of things, not to mention the coach last week. Was that last week, Woody, or 2 weeks ago? The coach, I don't know if they were drinking or what, but anyway, he got a little physical, so they basically let his ass go. And so now this thing becomes a story, players-only meeting, which honestly, I was kind of surprised because players-only meetings, you show me a really bad loss or a couple of bad losses in a row, and I'll show you a players-only meeting. I'll show you a meeting where the coach goes, the guys go, hey, coach, can you leave us and let us talk to these guys and take all your guys out? So Jordan Brooks was talking about that part, yeah.
Isn't it amazing what one win will do for this franchise?
Oh, my God. First of all, I mean, put out some of these little fires.
Oh, my God. If we come in here on Monday and they're 1-1 and – you know, I know Buffalo
doesn't fix it,
them, but
it doesn't fix it everything.
It doesn't fix
but at
everything,
least
but it
you know how to win
it up for a week or for 4 days.
Well,
whatever you, until Buffalo, but
can't worry about Buffalo. Joe, but hey, Buffalo is right around the corner.
I think we are officially in must win territory.
Oh, I agree. They put themselves, even though it's a 17 game schedule, that this second game. Listen, I thought the first game was really, really important, and I couldn't have been more wrong because not only did you lose, you're the worst team in football losing. So this game.
Well, Mike Florio is going to come on later. He's going to smash them.
And get the Patriots.
I understand that. I know you respect Mike's opinion, and I know you won't jump him on it when he says it.
I'm like, now, because we were.
Yeah.
Like, if you're doing power rankings, we should be down at the bottom.
But they have a big opportunity here at home as home favorites. It would fix a lot of stuff, man.
You know what it'll do? You just learn how you show yourself you can win and start to get some confidence and have some guys play well, you know, and have some guys, you know, again, I said this earlier. When things go against you, listen, every game, especially on the road, you're going to have at some point, something's going to go against you. The other team's going to get a interception and good field position. Or they're going to score on a long pass or some things. You're going to go through it. You got to respond though, man. You got to come back and have a game changing play on offense or defense or even special teams. We didn't have any of those things. Those things just from the start, and it just never got back on track. It never got back on track. It didn't even come close. It was like you came out at halftime going, okay, got to get off to a good start. And it just got worse. It just didn't get any better. They got stops and you kind of felt like guys were moping around, and the vibe was not good looking down on the field, on the sideline. It was just bad everywhere. That's one of the reasons. I get it. Jordan Brooks and whoever else talked. I'll be honest with you, I hope Tua didn't talk a whole lot in this meeting. I'm not taking the weekend. I don't want to hear from him. I don't want to hear from Tua right now. I just want Tua to play better. That's all. Just focus on your play.
He is the kind of guy that gets up in front of the team.
But you know what? Zach Sealer, Jordan Brooks. Is Minka a captain too? I think he is. Is Minka one of the captains?
There's a lot of them. I don't know. What's the difference?
But, hey, I don't even know if they work. You know, you asked me earlier, do these things work? And we had them. We had good teams. Even on good teams, you're late in the year, and all of a sudden you lose a couple games in a row, and you know, all of a sudden you're in a dogfight to win your division because you've let another team back in, and you have that meeting and you don't look good, and go up to New England, we'll get our ass kicked all over the place. Steve Grogan and these guys are just hammered us. And so we come back and he gets part of your body, chews part of your body off. And then, you know, the guys go, hey, okay. because that's the only way he knew. There was never a sympathetic loss with Coach Shula. There was never like, hey, guys, we've been working hard. I still believe in you, man. Don't worry about it. Let's let this one go. We're not even going to watch the tapes today. No, hell no. It was like it got worse. It didn't get better. It got friggin' worse. So our guys would go, hey, let's have a team meeting. Hey, guys, listen, man, it's about us. You know, the old man went a little crazy. Let's just, you, we know we can play better than you had him. But I don't know. Somebody asked, did they ever work? I don't remember anybody stand up giving some great speech where we stood up and we started cheering for the guy and go, let's practice now, skip lunch. We never did that. So I don't know how much they work.
Look, at the very least, it's a positive that they seem to care.
Woody, of course they care. Why do you bring that up? Of course they care.
At least they understand the desperation of the moment. Like
I know, but you like you're like with fans. No. Your thing. Like I always tell you this. Since I work with you, like, look at man. I know a lot of guys make a lot of money. We got guys making from $600,000-$700,000 up to $50 million. I get it. Those guys all want to win.
I am.
Oh, they don't care. They just want their money. No. They care.
Game number one.
All right, whatever.
You did not look like a team that went out there with a great deal of motivation.
Okay.
Joe. And I think
I agree.
You know that.
Yeah.
I do think you know that.
Thank you for helping me with the knowledge of football. I always appreciate it for coming from you. It's just always got such great meeting. Ben Bolin, senior NFL writer at the Boston Globe, is going to join us. And we got a lot more to get to here. And but before we do, I do want to tell you about Harvey Cohn and Gary Judah. Partners of Cohn and Judah Injury Law Firm, personal injury attorneys in Plantation, the same partners who handle your case from start to finish, more than 30 years of experience each, big enough to go to trial and get you multi-million dollar results and small enough just to call you back. I want to talk to you about calling you back. How are you doing where you are right now? So you saw a great commercial for a personal injury. And listen, you're going through some pain, man. You got hurt in an automobile accident. You got hurt, slip and fall at work or anything else. And you're looking around on TV. I'm going, that guy, I like that commercial. I like that guy. So you get there and you find out that guy, he doesn't actually going to handle your, he's not going to handle your case. He's going to have nothing to do with your case. He's going to hand it off to a couple guys in the other room that have been with him a couple years, and they're going to handle it. So now you're calling to get updates on it. Nobody calls you back. Now you get a little frustrated and you realize you're not very important. You're not very important, or your case is not big enough for that law firm to put a lot into it. You will never, ever get that at, with Harvey Cohn and Gary Jude. They will never do that. You can always get a hold of them. Even on the weekends, you're in pain. You're going, hey, man, what's going on? Guys, I'm hurting over here, man. Listen, they, like they say, when you check out their reviews, you go to CohnandJude.com and read the reviews, made us feel like we were their only client. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the personal touch and great results. Remember this, 866-FAIR-FEE. That's their phone number. Go to CohnandJude.com, read the reviews, and they don't pay other lawyers to do the work you hire them to do.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of Hollywood Hotline, shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
All right, Woody. Ben Bolin, senior NFL writer at the Boston Globe, joins us this morning. I'm sure on his way down here to South Florida. Ben, how you doing?
Guys, what's up? Apologies for the delay before, but you got my full undivided attention now, big dog. And actually, I'm not going to be there on Sunday. I'll be staying at home, but I'll be there in spirit. Maybe you can leave an empty chair in the press box.
Hey, so I got to ask you, tough loss, tough second half, really, after having some chances to win. As they get ready to come down here and you know how the Dolphins played, what are your thoughts on this game for the Patriots coming down here?
My thoughts are, I know the Patriots have a lot of hype going into the season with Mike Vrabel, and I know the Dolphins look like a disaster against the Colts last Sunday, but I still don't like this matchup for the Patriots. I like the Dolphins. The Dolphins have owned the Patriots down in Miami 5 in a row, as you guys are well aware. It's going to be hot and humid and sticky and the type of conditions that the Patriots have always struggled in down in Miami. Even when they were Super Bowl contenders with Tom Brady, they always struggled down there. The Patriots offense is so far behind right now, just back at square one with a young quarterback and a new offense that everyone's learning for the first time. You know, Mike Vrabel last week or all throughout training camp, he's been preaching, we got to win the second half. The Patriots came out against the Raiders and lost 13-0 in the second half, just fell apart on both sides of the ball, didn't have what it took to get it done in the second half. And I think this is a get-right game for the Dolphins. I think they're going to be very determined this week, probably a little desperate, and that's not a good spot that the Patriots want to be in. So I don't like this spot for the Patriots at all.
Is Drake May the future? Do you know enough? I thought he was pretty good his first year for considering he had nothing offensively to work with from an offensive line to anything else.
Yeah, I think we're still in to-be-determined phase. I mean, it's the first game of his second season. They've got him under contract for 4 years and then a fifth-year option if they, you know, want to push the decision. More likely, you need to know by the middle of the third season. I mean, you guys have had these conversations for 20 years now. About when you know. So I'm not telling you anything you don't know.
We have. We're very professional at this. We know this business, yeah.
Just replace Drake May with Ryan Tannehill or Chad Henne or any of the names. Not a good start for Drake May. Just looked very uncomfortable last week. You know, didn't see the field, was leaving the pocket too early, you know, focusing on his first reads and not seeing the field, wild with throws, just looks very uncomfortable. So now it's up to Josh McDaniels to make him comfortable and to you know, put him in the right position to succeed. I like all of Drake May's attributes, you know, like unlike Mac Jones, Drake May has good size. He can run, he's got a good arm. So he fits the part a lot more than Mac Jones did. But if you can't see the field and if you can't make winning plays, then you're not a franchise quarterback. So definitely still to be determined.
I was kind of questioning their wide receivers. They have Stephon Diggs, 11 years now in the league. I saw he had 6 catches last week. But Keyshawn Booty kind of coming into his own. How do you like this group of receivers they have that he's throwing to?
I don't love it. It's still, again, to use an old Dolphins trope, it's a bunch of 3s and 4s and 5s. You don't really have 1s and 2s there. Stephon Diggs did have 6 catches. He looks good considering where he's at coming off a torn ACL, but he's not Stephon Diggs from 2 years ago. He's still not back to 100%, and at 31, you know, maybe he never will be. Booty had a nice game, had over 100 yards receiving. At the same time, he's really more just like a possession receiver, maybe a little bit of a deep threat, but I don't think he's anyone that's really going to scare the opposing team. I mean, he got his 100 yards, and the Patriots still only scored 13 points the other day. You know, honestly, the guy they need to emerge as the number one receiver isn't actually a receiver. It's running back Travion Henderson, and that's probably unfair to put all that pressure on him.
Yeah.
But he's their most dynamic athlete. And all throughout training camp, I mean, he was uncoverable out of the backfield with linebackers and safeties. You know, other teams really have to focus a lot of, you know, several defenders or put a cornerback right on Travion Henderson. But, you know, he was deadly in training camp out of the backfield on wheel routes and swing passes and screens. So, honestly, for anyone to loosen up a defense, it's probably going to have to be Travion Henderson.
You know, Ben, when I saw this defense, what they added, and Christian Gonzalez, who's still injured, doesn't look like he's going to play again. But the guys they added and their secondary, I just thought, man, this thing's got a chance to be really good. The names on the backs look so good. Milton Williams on there, and, of course, Harold Landry off to a great start. How good is the defense right now?
The defense has a lot of potential, but they fell apart against the Raiders. I mean, Chip Kelly coached circles around them last week. Geno Smith led all NFL quarterbacks with 9 completions over 20 yards.
Crazy stat.
It was a clinic. Some of it was catch and run. Some of it was deep shots down the field. It was very impressive. The Patriots looked like they'd never seen a bunch formation before, and you're playing the Dolphins now. All they do are bunch formation. So that's going to be a real important thing for the Patriots this week. You know, the defense, they held the Raiders to 20 points. Usually that's good enough to win, but they couldn't get the key stops when they needed to. They gave up a conversion on 3rd and 20. They sent an all-out blitz on 3rd and 20, and they got burned.
Yeah.
Yeah, really bad. So they blitzed a ton. They blitzed the 4th most of any team last week, and Geno Smith ate them up. So I'll be very curious to see how they approach this week. You know, you said Harold Landry had a great game, and I believe he had 2.5 sacks, but all 4 of the Patriots' sacks came on the blitz, A lot of them for Landry were him just kind of cleaning up someone else's pressure.
Yeah.
And when it came to the four-man rush, they didn't get anything on Geno Smith. So they have to blitz just to get some pressure. So that's going to be a real tricky spot for the Patriots. Despite all the money they spent, despite all those names, they still don't have a great pass rush with their front.
You know, it's so funny because you heard it all off season. Everybody saw, oh, man, the team that's going to make the big jump from four wins to having a chance is the Patriots. And they're kind of questioning a lot of different things. So you think it's a close game? You expect it still to be fairly close?
Yeah, I don't expect a blowout because I just don't think that's where the Dolphins are at right now either. But I just think the Dolphins defense is probably going to make life difficult for Drake May, who, you know, turnovers have been an issue for him since he got into the league. He averages about one per game, one of the highest rates among all the quarterbacks. It's going to be, like I said, a hot, probably rainy day down there. Don't have to deal with the mud and the baseball infield anymore, but I just don't see this as a place where the Patriots offense is going to start clicking. So I think the Dolphins defense is going to come up big, and we're probably looking at like a 20-17 game.
Let me ask you about the other part of the AFCs that's playing each other. The Bills go to Jets and they struggle for some reason. They don't struggle against us. They struggle a little bit. What do you expect in that game? And what do you think of the Jets?
Yeah, I like the Jets in this spot. And I've liked the Jets all offseason. And I mean, I don't really like the Jets. I don't see them as a playoff team. But what you said before, everyone talking about the Patriots being the surprise team, I kind of like the Jets. You know, I still do think the Patriots are probably an 8-win team, but I think the Jets could be right in that neighborhood too. I like the fact that their offensive line has 3 first-round picks. They've got good top-end talent like Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, Justin Fields. You know, if they can rein him in a little bit with his turnovers, he's a dynamic running team. They're going to play defense, you know, under Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn's got this tough, you know, culture that he's building. I think the Jets quietly are going to be one of these teams that no one wants to play this year, and I think the Steelers found that out last week. So I think they're going to give the Bills a game, especially that was such an emotional win for the Bills. Now this is kind of a letdown game a little bit coming off of it. So I don't know if the Jets are going to win, but I think it's going to be a close game, and I think that the Jets are going to be a real pesky team this year.
All right. Hey, Ben, nice having you, man. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much, bud.
Always appreciate you, big dog.
All right. Ben Volen, senior NFL writer at the Boston Globe. And, man, it is time before we get to DBJ to talk about those Canes in South Florida coming up in just a few minutes. It is truck month at your South Florida Chevy dealers. Man, it is a time. You've been thinking about getting that new truck, that working truck, that family truck, that combo truck that you need. Boy, I'll tell you what, your South Florida Chevy dealers, we're proud and love our trucks. Our durable Colorado with its standard Turbo Max engine and impressive torque. You get everything you could possibly want, whether it's pleasure on the weekends or just a hard-working truck. You got to check out the Silverado 1500, always ready, steady, and strong, delivering all the power you would ever need for any kind of job. Workday, workhorse, and a weekend warrior. Boy, that Silverado 1500 takes care of it all. Hey, we understand one thing at your South Florida Chevy dealers, even with the Silverado HD. If you need a truck that's going to work as hard as you do, 5, 6, even 7 days a week, that's how you make a living, you're going to love the Silverado HD and its legendary horsepower and one of the hardest working beds in the business. This weekend, you're starting to look around, take a test drive. Hey, there's a reason. It's our biggest seller, those trucks, man. They're fantastic. They're strong. They're durable. And we've got one absolutely perfect for your lifestyle with 14 dealerships throughout South Florida this weekend. Fall in love at your South Florida Chevy dealer.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop, over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaOfHollywood.com.
All right, Woody, a guy you're going to be spending some time with tomorrow before that great pregame show that you guys do. And I got to tell you, and Brian Monroe and all the guests is fantastic. I really, really enjoy it. And Don Bailey Jr., Canes radio analyst, along with Joe Z, will be on the call. And, man, DBJ, I don't want to say I'm scared. These kind of games, you don't go out and go, we're the Canes and just we're going to show up. I mean, there's got to be some passion like you had against Notre Dame. I know they don't have the same talent. I know that, but I also know if you get a little sloppy and they hit a trick play or two like they did last time we played them, all of a sudden you're sitting there in a tight ball game before the half. How do you feel about this one?
I think you're right, Joe. Just turn on that Florida game from last week for USF. It's exactly what happened. You know, it's University of South Florida's beat two top 25 teams. They're always difficult to play. The score didn't indicate that off of last year's game, but it sure did in the first half. Miami didn't break that thing open until in the second half. And they're well coached. And you got to remember, there's a lot of guys on that team that probably feel that they should have been recruited by Miami and they weren't. And it upsets them and it gives them that edge. And I'm positive that their head coach uses that to his advantage. And it's what they won in Miami before.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, you and Joe Z got some great stuff out of coach the other day. I wanted to talk to you about some of that stuff. I just loved it. Bryce Fitzgerald, Columbus safety, I think the only guy that wasn't able to graduate early because of rules at Catholic school. So he wasn't able to be there and has himself an interception. He's talking about he's actually played some against Notre Dame, which at the time I didn't even realize.
Well, let me tell you, he was a late enrollee. You know what's funny is last year it was O.J. Frederick. He came in and he was in the secondary. I think he's out of St. Thomas.
Right.
And he lit it up, ended up starting, I believe, almost every single game, was a freshman All-American. And then you have Fitzgerald.
We might have.
Single time I talk to the secondary people, they bring up his name.
Yeah. Well, listen, what a great story it is. Hey, another guy. So is this just coach talk? So we got a five-star guy in this Samson Akunlola and how good he's been. I'm just wondering, first of all, what's his best position, guard or tackle? And is he improved that much?
All of the above. I think the thing that makes him so valuable is that he's the swing guy. And yes, he has. If you had to pick, after 2 weeks, the most improved player on this football team, it will be Samson. And he's worked himself into it. Now, you've got to remember, he's been injured a couple times, Joe. So that was some setbacks. But he's playing. And he's playing well. And he played with a ton of energy the last two games. And they were actually, you know, he's in that rotation.
Yes.
McCoy and Okunola. Those guys are rotating there at that guard spot, and he's a swing guy. And same thing happened last year. You know, they had that with McCoy, where McCoy was the rotator, and now they have it with Okunola, and I think it's just going to get better and better.
So the other part of this is the guy that the one thing that can't happen in this game specifically is Byron Brown, who's a big, strong dude. And he'll throw it up on the outside and get you one-on-one, and you slip like Florida Gator did, and they'll catch it and run another 40 yards, and you got a big play against you. And the second thing he does is this guy can't run wild for 70 or 80-plus yards in this game. So how do you rush this guy? What's the best – you get a big rush from the outside. I'm guessing they're going to have it again this week with two of the best players on the team. How do you go about making sure he stays in the pocket but still getting there?
You have to make sure, Joe, you honor your rush lanes. You know, you got to keep your head up. You got to make sure you know where he's at during your whole pass rush. But you can't freelance. I mean, you really have got to be assignment sound on your pass rush to make sure you take away those rushing lanes take away his running lanes. And also, I think you'd probably do some line games to keep those categories clogged where he's going to try and run. So it's going to be interesting. He is such a talent. He's fun to watch, man. And I would I think Miami has an advantage if they force him to throw the football to win.
Well, the one thing they've been doing that and Woody gives me a hard time, he calls you and I old school because we talk about turnover so much.
Tell him to watch the Dolphin game last week.
He did see it.
Okay.
No. Along with a lot of problems.
The turnovers did not tell the story. That's a good point.
He's probably right about that. Those turnovers, That 17 points, it probably wouldn't have mattered. He's right.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. You know what? You know what, Woodrow? You're right on that, bro. Three giveaways for anybody else is a loss.
Well, I agree, but they've been taking the one thing he's done in Carson Beck. I just feel really comfortable. He's pretty smart. He's got no problem throwing it underneath unless he sees something. What are your thoughts on how he's played and his decision-making so far through two games?
I think two things have happened. I think Shannon Dawson is, you know, custom fit this offense for his personality. He's gotten a lot of help from the receivers. You know, those guys have come in and really have settled in immediately and have given him confidence. How often do you have a quarterback that accepts the check down and is happy to use it instead of searching for the big play?
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty of what Beck is doing, is that he is taking what's available. It's eliminating the interception. It's keeping drives alive, and it's making sure Miami gets into the end zone.
Yeah. I love the Notre Dame game, and they were showing some respect. Don't get me wrong. The Notre Dame secondary is really good. But those guys getting open, giving them something to throw to at 6, 7, 8 yards underneath and going, we can get those other couple yards running the ball. I like that game plan, and we stay patient with that, with running between the tackles.
Well, you've got the horses that can give you that, and you got the offensive line. I think, you know, that running game is the key to all of it. That helps the quarterback. That helps the receivers. It helps everybody. So Miami's always going to be committed to that under Coach Cristobal. But more importantly, Carson Beck gets it. He's not trying to invent anything on any given play. He stays within the system. And if you get a chance, just the guy goes through his progressions as fast as anybody I've seen, and he'll come back or he'll take the last shot as it's available. But you can see that this is his sixth year of football at a very, very high level. And Chris Dawson, again, has done a good job custom fitting his plan around Carson.
The one thing I think we've all learned, well, we kind of thought this just being out of camp, was that this team was deeper everywhere. But I do feel a lot better about this team defensively and the plays. I know they had the one breakdown against Notre Dame with the tight end was a costly one at the time. But outside of that, you feel like guys are where they're supposed to and they're making plays.
I do, and I think that they're older and they're more experienced. You know, Torre, the linebacker who came in from Rutgers, his seventh year, but Saints a senior. Popo's is the third-year guy. Chase Smith's a fifth-year guy. You know, Keontae Scott is playing nickel. He's a six-year guy. And then, you know, look at – I think guy that's – we talk about Joe, but is playing so good is Reuben Bain. And you kind of just say, yeah, it's Reuben Bain. He's going to – but he's playing at elite level. And that's helped a lot by Mesidor on the other end. When you're an offense, you got to deal with those two guys on the edge. You got a long day.
Yeah, I love the hustle from the first play to the last play with Reuben Bain and that pass rush they had late in that game and everything. So there, you don't think there. I know Coach has been talking about openly, like, hey, I know the Gators are next on the schedule, but guys, do not. There, nobody could be that dumb to come out flat and say, hey, Mom and Dad, I'm going to be playing a lot in this one in the second, right? They're not taking this for granted.
This football team is well-informed by their head coach. Yeah. He puts it all out there. He lets them know what's in front of them today. These young men are smart enough to watch the tape, and they're smart enough to see what happened at Florida Field, the place they played at a year ago. And they're also – especially off of last year, you look at how Coach Cristobal managed the season one game at a time. Well, it's the same thing now, and I do not see one person looking forward. I do not.
Yeah. Well, listen, all of a sudden, man, it makes Saturday here tomorrow a lot more enjoyable, right? And when everybody first saw South Florida win, and now they're going, okay, they beat the Gators in Gainesville. All right, I get it. I get why you're ranked 18th in the country now. So hopefully – we got a big crowd, and those guys come out and take care of business and don't get in one of those games where you're sitting there with 6 minutes left going, what are we doing here? Wow, not that. By the way, you know the Gators dropped a couple of touchdowns. I didn't realize it, and Woody showed me the highlights.
Yeah, no, for Florida, I watched that game already twice, Joe, and it's, you know, they had every chance to win that football game, and they didn't. Yeah. You know, everybody's talking about the – the spitting incident, but they turned the ball over. They missed some touchdowns, and just the effort. I think they lost the effort battle. I really do. You know, USF played a full 60 minutes. I can't tell you that everybody on the Florida team, at least the way I saw it, played as hard as they could every play.
Yeah. Well, listen, this one, DBJ, this is gonna be fun. Now, are you cool with that flooring thing we're still doing for people who are listening to us right now? As long as DBJ's not at Canes practice or in a Canes meeting watching film, he's in that office and you call and say, as long as DBJ, I'm a big Canes fan, is coming out and take a look at the job and what I'm thinking about, and he'll talk Canes football with me while I'm buying some new flooring from him. You're still good to go on that, right? I just want to make sure you haven't changed on that. Everybody else got creative commercials. There ain't nothing better than DBJ. These guys can talk about this and their family and put little kids in the ads and stuff. Man, getting DBJ out there, man, that's freaking huge, brother.
The real McCoy shows up if you give a call. I'll be there.
All right.
No imposter. You're right, though. Thank you. All right.
DBJ, thank you, man. And by the way, you guys do great work. But I ain't taking a backseat to Bo and his wife ever again. That will never happen again. I got to wait. And I go, why am I waiting for this team to come out? And they go, oh, he's with Bo. I go, I can't argue with that one. All right. That's all right. I get that.
Bo pulled the rank on you, Joe.
He did. He pulled a little power move. The big fella's always done that, but he can do that. You know, he's a little bit older, so I expect that. Thank you, DBJ.
Have a good one, brother.
Have
a great week, man. Bye.
All right. Don Bailey Jr., Canes radio analyst. And ready to help you get some new flooring. And the man himself, he didn't go, well, I got to take this back. He is the man. Anyway, hey, right now I want to talk to you about something else. Hurricane season. The noodles. Channel 7 got those noodles running, Woody. Are they going a little bit left, a little bit right on us right now? Hey, listen, protect your home with Loctite Impact windows, doors, and roofing and stop worrying about them. There's one thing. Shevin, the CEO and president of Loctite Impact windows, doors, and roofing, he says it so well. He says, you know, Joe, there's one thing, like, you can't control what happens in September, October, you know, whether it's 100-mile-an-hour winds, 120, 70, whatever, like, we get bad storms. They're going to happen. But there's one thing you can do, man, and that's protect your home and not worry about it. Like, all right, man, I got Impact windows and doors. I got the latest stuff. I got a great roof. I feel good. That's all you can do, man. So if you're ready and you're saying, well, I'm going to wait one more year, stop it. That old leaky roof, huh? Replace your old roof now and pay later. Loctite Impact offers the highest quality roofing materials with lifetime warranty plus thousands of five-star reviews. Say big on their legendary state-of-the-art Impact windows and doors. Impact windows as low as $3 per window per month installed. Might be $6 per window per month installed. Don't wait for the next storm. Visit LoctiteImpact.com. Again, LoctiteImpact.com. Or you can call 954-500-LOCK. They got a professional team that's ready to take your calls right now, covering all of South Florida. They do great work, very competitive prices. You're really going to like the way Loctite Impact windows, doors, and roofing works.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.